Good morning, One Turner Church. My name's Lorraine Roberts, and just thought I'd introduce myself to those of you who are not familiar with me. I've been attending One Turner since last year in March, which also happened to be the lockdown time. So I know I haven't met some of you and some of you haven't met me. But yeah, looking forward to hopefully meeting more people as the world opens up eventually. Thought I'd introduce myself just for those who are not familiar. Now, it's a commonly known thing that what we believe shapes how we live our lives. If we believe that we have control of things, then we'll probably live our lives in that way. And if we believe the opposite, we'll probably do the same. And the same can actually be said about our beliefs about God. Whatever we believe of his character and who he is will play out in how we live our lives, how we see ourselves, and how we actually see and treat others. And today I want to share with you a little bit about my journey in my understanding of the character of God and how that's actually changed my life. And I want to invite you on a journey of discovery for yourself. Now, just for some context, I've been an Adventist Christian all my life, you know, singing Jesus Loves Me, Sabbath school, Adventist, you know, high school. That's, you know, I've got the package. I've got that package. And you'd assume that, you know, with that, you know, you could generally say that, you know, I'm someone who grew up knowing God or hearing about God and having a bit of an understanding about his character. Now, it wasn't up until not too long ago that I used to think that God is love, but insert a whole lot of other things that have nothing to do with God being love. And it was like he was love, but he was also all these other things that made me feel very uncomfortable. I'll give you some examples. God is love, but is really focused on me just following the rules, and I need to make sure I confess every single detail in my sins so that I make it to heaven. So he's love, but he's also this. Now, how that played out in terms of, like, you know, this belief and how it played out was that, this is gonna sound so silly, but I would sit, you know, I would have like ways that I'd think, okay, if I'm to die, right, it can't be like an instant death. Like, I can't have a car crash and die immediately. I'd need like a list, like at least maybe 10, 15 minutes so that I can quickly like confess my sins and just go through the list, whatever it is, you know, like, and try and bring in anything that I'm like, oh God, I don't remember whether I already told you this and that kind of thing. Just need to cover my bases because, you know, that's, he was love, but he was also like this other side. You know, and if I didn't do that, I wouldn't make it in. See, God was love, but he was also like scary powerful. Like, not like, I don't mean like, oh, amazingly, like mighty power. No, no, no. I'm talking like the scared part is the bigger part of this scary powerful. And like, I was just afraid, you know, like if I do the wrong thing or say something, you know, if I use the Lord's name in vain, oh, there you go, the lightning, it's coming for me. You know, and how that played out was, you know, I'm about to say something and I'm like, oh, Lord, I mean, forgive me for saying this, but, and then I'll say whatever I say because I'm just like, I just got to like make sure that I let him know that, hey, like, I'm not trying to do something wrong here, but I really need to communicate this. And the thing is, like, you know, when you believe that God is a particular way, it then shows up in how you worship him. See, so there was this mix of fear and a kind of love in how I worshiped him. Some of the ways that it showed up was how I made sure I read my Bible every day without fail. But not necessarily because I was seeking a relationship, but because, you know, like, that's the rule. So that's what you do. And just in case there was an angel up in heaven walking around being like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to report to you the people who've read their Bible today. You know, I could just know that there's always a tick next to my name. I'm all good. I'm sorted. And it sounds really silly, But these are some of the ways that my beliefs about God were then coming out. It's how I was living. I was living out these beliefs. Now, probably the most interesting one for me was when tough things would happen in life, and I'd wonder about how God fits into that. How does he fit into these difficult things, these horrible things that I was seeing or sometimes experiencing? But, you know, in fear of doubting and falling away, I just, you know, decide, okay, well, Lorraine, just remember, God is good, right? It doesn't make sense. I'm not quite understanding the situation, but God is good. You know, so I'd go and I'd read a verse that reminds me that, or I'd then just, you know, find a song that keeps repeating it about God's goodness. Because I was just too afraid to ask, to make sense of things, to make sense of this character and some of these things that I was seeing and experiencing. Now, when I think about where some of those beliefs came from, I can probably trace them back to my upbringing or maybe to how I heard people talking about God, whether it's pastors, whether it's friends, whether it's family. You know, it's probably linked to that. But I'd say in my adult life, it's probably more so linked to the ways that in which I read my Bible, but also in not understanding the key purpose of the Bible, what one of the key purposes of the Bible. And see, I came to discover that one of the key purposes of the Bible is actually to help us understand the character of God, to help us understand who he is, and therefore who we are and what life is really about. The issue is, you know, I was reading my Bible and just picking and choosing things and then jumping to conclusions about, okay, then that sums it up. That must be God. You know, I'd read a story about, you know, God then having to get rid of a certain group of people, or, you know, someone dies and I'd be like, okay, better watch it because, you know, he might strike me. That's how I was processing it. And that was very dangerous because it meant that I didn't have a full holistic picture around this book called the Bible that I was reading and what it was actually about. You see, I like to think about it like three circles. I imagine three circles, an inner circle, then another one around that, so the middle circle, and then another one on the outside, the outer circle. The inner circle is a person's actions. It's the things that they do, that's their actions. The middle circle is their actions in context. It's the understanding of like, oh, this action is done this way in this particular space. And then the outer circle is their actions in context and the understanding of that person's character. So it's an even bigger understanding. I'll give you a quick example to illustrate this. Let's say I'm out and I've just bought myself a beetroot juice because I love beetroot juice. And, you know, walking down the street and I'm about to take a sip of my juice. And then this random guy called Tim, I don't know why I know the random guy's name, but this random guy called Tim walks towards me and slaps the juice out of my hand. Like the emotions, I can feel them just thinking about it, right? Like the emotions I might go through, the thought processes I might go through. It could be this guy is high on something and he's just, I don't know, for some reason, slapped my juice out of my hand. He's upset at me. He is rude. He's just a violent person. All these conclusions that I could come to about this person just based on this action. Now, we'll rewind and kind of start again. I'm still buying beetroot juice because I love it. And I'm walking down the street and I'm with Brian. And I go to take a sip of my juice and he slaps it out of my hand. I might be like, what was that for? Maybe a little louder than I'm making it right now, but we won't do that. You know, I'll ask him, what was that about? What was that for? I start with a question because this action, right, doesn't make sense to me because there's no context to it, right? I don't know why he's done it. But because I have an understanding of his character and I have a relationship with him, I can ask because I know that's not something that Brian would just do. He then might explain that somehow there was a wasp on the side of my cup and it was coming towards my face. I don't know, something like that. I don't like insects. So then I'd be like, well, thank you. That was a great thing that you did. In comparing the two situations, you know, there's just an action with no context and with no understanding of someone's character. And it's easy to jump to conclusions. It's easy to think like, oh, that person's like this. But when we have context, it gives us a bit more clarity, right? But it only gives us clarity up to the point of the context. When we then have a lens of their character in which we're looking at things through, we have a way to navigate what's actually going on, what's actually happening. And I feel like the same applies with how we understand God when we read his word. And I think this was a bit of the journey that I then went through. I'll give you an example, just using a Bible verse, using the three circles, right? Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It's a favorite of a lot of people, and we use this verse quite a bit. Jeremiah 29:11, you know, I have plans to prosper you, not to fail you, to give you a hope and a future. And let's say I'm applying for a job, and I read this verse, just the verse, you know, consider it the action. And I'm like, God has plans to prosper me and not to fail me. In this situation, prospering me and not failing me is this job, is me getting this job. And then I pray, okay, God, I know that you've got my back. All good. I don't get the job. What does that verse now mean? Does God still want to prosper me and not fail me? Like, what's that about? Just looking at the verse alone, I can jump to a conclusion and be like, well, I don't know. Like, does God say he will, you know, does God do what he says he will do? But when I have the context of when this verse was written, so the Israelites were in exile, and God is writing this verse as a way of giving them hope that, you know, like, this is not the end. This is not the final destination, right? But also when you then have the understanding of God's character, it's a bit of a different situation, because then when I read it and I know that God has plans to prosper me and not to fail me, whether or not I get a job that I thought was the one, sure, I'll be disappointed. But I then don't think that God no longer has plans to prosper me and now just wants to fail me because I didn't get a job. Because I have a bigger understanding. I have context and character that's layered in. I also think about what Dan was sharing last week. And this is what actually encouraged me to share what I'm sharing today. And he was talking about the concept of hell and, you know, the different beliefs that people have about it. And as Christians, you know, how we've kind of gone through that journey and different things that people believe. And I love that he said, when you think about the character of God, if God is love, right? No buts. If God is love, why would we believe that he's a God that wants to burn people forever? You know, like, they don't die, they just continue to burn. You see, when you then see something like that, you're like, okay, maybe let me go and dig a bit deeper. Let me go and understand, like, what is the context? What does this mean? Rather than jumping to a conclusion that therefore God cannot be love. So I started going through a bit of a journey, right? My own three circles journey with God. A friend of mine and Brian's got in touch with us and shared a bit of a practice with us around about this time last year, I think it was. And he was like, I want to encourage you to read the Bible as a narrative, right? And do it with other people, like, do it in community. So there was a bunch of us that started doing this. And what we were doing is we would read the Bible. So we'd read a book of the Bible essentially every week. or break it up depending on how big the book was. And the lens in which we were looking at it, the only question we were asking with every book that we read was, what does this tell me or teach me about the character of God? Or what kind of God would do these things? And we weren't just looking at, like, you know, Genesis and then leaving it there, and then Exodus and then leaving it there. Once you've read a book, you then put it together with the other books that you've kind of been reading, and you're thinking about, what are the patterns? What am I seeing? And therefore, what am I actually learning about who he is? What his character is like? And I began to have a bit of a shift. All those, some of those things that I was sharing before about what I believed God was like, who I thought he was, started to change. Because I wasn't just picking and choosing. I wasn't just reading something and being like, therefore he is this. I was thinking about the whole picture. It's kind of like how you wouldn't pick up a novel and just open up to the middle of the page, read about a particular person in there and be like, oh, this person is horrible. No, you're going to read the whole book, right? You're going to get context, but also read the whole book to understand, who is this person? What are they like? And that was the process that we kind of started going through. And it gave me such freedom. You see, now I know that God is love, no buts. That everything he does and has done from the beginning of time is for us. That he's unbelievably humble. Like, when I think that, you know, God has been chasing us to show us that he can be trusted to lead us home, that God has been trying to prove himself to me, to humanity, I am so humbled by that. Like, I can't even grow a leaf. I can't produce anything from nothing. But the God who created everything, who is the beginning and the end, or knows no beginning and knows no end, proves himself to me, to us, humbles me. I've been drawn closer to God. You know, when I think of, you know, when Paul says, for the love of Christ constrains me, or it compels me, I feel like I kind of get it now. I've always thought Paul was a bit intense, but that's another story for another time. But I feel like I get it now. Getting to know who he is centers me. I feel like now I have an anchor that keeps me safe when everything else around me is turbulent. I now really believe, you know, we've got the hymn that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I now really believe that. And I feel like I've experienced it. When I get caught up in the struggles of the world, or, you know, in things that, you know, I have dreams, I have things that I want to happen at a particular time in a particular way. And when those things don't happen, I reach out to him because he is my foundation. And in what I know of him, I know that my disappointments on this earth, they don't have the last say. That my life here is just but a small part of eternity. And there is a freedom and a peace in that. The song Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus says, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It is strange, all right? It is so strange. But it is beautiful. I now think about what my life is really about, what really matters, because I understand who he is. And for me, the most important things for me on this earth are to love God and to love others. And sure, there's all these other things that I want to do in my life, but if they don't happen, that's okay. It'll be hard. I will cry. I will be upset. But I know that that is not the end. And this is the beauty and the freedom I have found in really getting to know God and who He is. Now, I'm not saying that I have a full, 100% understanding, this is who God is, it's all good, having a great time. No, there's some things that I'm still reading and I'm just like, what's happening here? But the difference is, just like I mentioned in the three circles with the example of Brian, I now go to ask the question. I seek context. Because I allow His character and what I know of Him to be the driver. When we serve God in fear, because we have a misunderstanding of His character, it's kind of like eating cheese and crackers 3 times a day for the rest of your life when you've been invited to a banquet. Actually, no. Better example. It's kind of like staying in lockdown when you've been told you can finally go and travel the world. There's other people traveling, getting on planes, if we still remember what that is like, doing all sorts of things, and you're just staying in lockdown. You're just staying in your house. Can you survive? Sure. But is that an abundant life? I don't think so. When I think of John 10:10, which says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a satisfying life." I think of this understanding of God's character, the abundance and the freedom that comes from knowing who He is, the direction that comes from that, the centering that comes from that. It is living life abundantly. So today I want to invite you to get to know God's character. And I'm sure there's many ways to do so. I'm sure different people have done different things. But get to know His character, because it will change your life. And you will live an abundant life. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank You for this time that we have to listen to Your word. I pray, God, that You may continue to be with us, that we may continue to discover who You are, that we may continue to grow in knowledge and in love with You until the day that You come to take us home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.